This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
The thing about comparing rates at Progressive.com is that by now you've heard a lot of ads about comparing rates at Progressive.com. We probably don't even need the words comparing rates anymore to remind you that seasoning steaks at Progressive.com is an easy way to save on car insurance, or that swimming in trousers helps you find the lowest rate. And that's the thing about foraging for truffles. You've heard a lot of ads about standing tiptoe on a cinder block. Compare rates and sing softly to a wounded field mouse and save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hello, and welcome back to Millennial Mama. In this episode, I would like to talk about inner child and how that shows up for us in our parenting. To discuss this, I have with me Sterna, a mom of four wonderful kids and a parenting coach that focuses on parenting through emotional connection. Hi Sterna, how are you? Welcome to Millennial Mama.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Sterna, I've been following you for a while now. I want to just understand a little more about your motherhood journey and how you came about to be a connected parenting advocate.
Yeah, so it's quite a lengthy journey that took me to where I am now. But one of the things that really pushed me to do what I'm doing is the day that my eldest child looked at me and she's like, no. And I looked at her, and at the time of my life, I was lacking the ability to say no to the adults in my life. I wanted to say no to so many people, right. So many things, yeah. And yet my child was right here freely telling me, like, no. And at that point, it was hard for me. Like, I wanted to, you know, control that no and say, hey, you can't say no, or, you know, and then I held myself back because I was like, I want to do that. And now, like, my child's doing it and I'm having a hard time that my child's capable of this, yet I really want to be capable of this. So there was so much going on, and that's what really, like, that incident with my eldest really pushed me to understand further myself and how I wanted to raise her. I didn't want to take away that, you know, value that I saw in the ability of saying no so freely.
Right. Wow. Okay, but so now you are a parenting coach, right? And as a mom who's trying to be a better person, who's where you were a couple of years ago, right? Who's trying to understand herself. I want to find out, sometimes my inner voices and fears come up, you know? My conditioning keeps coming up when I'm trying to raise my daughter. She's going to be 2 years this weekend. How do I cope with that? How do you do it?
Yeah, I think as a parenting coach and as everybody, right, I also have struggles and I also have this inner voice that you're talking about that I would really call it sometimes like this inner critic, right? That's what we're really saying, right? Like a voice inside that's kind of criticizing, right? Telling me I'm not worthy and I'm, you know, not lovable and nobody is going to consider me and nobody's listening to me. And that brings up fears, right? So the first thing would be that inner critic. And then we have the fears that come up with it that are interconnected, you know? So as a parenting coach, I'm very much like everyone, you know, like every parent that could experience such things. And I think the first thing is, you know, to really understand that this voice, you know, what is it? Where did this voice come from? So right. Let's go back in time. You see, each of us were little children growing up in a house. And as little children, we are, you know, in a healthy stage of development where we are egocentric. And being egocentric is what helps us survive our childhood. And how that happens, for example, as a child, I will take my surroundings and everything said around me and make it about me, right? It's going to be, I'm going to look at it as something that has to do with me. For example, my mother yells at me, okay? If, for example, my mother comes into my room and she yells at me, I'm egocentric. So I'm going to think to myself, wow, I must be, you know, something must be wrong with me. You know, I'm a bad child. I'm not lovable versus saying, oh, my mother is having a hard time right now. Now, as a child, I can't possibly think that my caregiver, my mother, who holds all my needs for survival, that she could have something wrong with her, because that would mean that I'm unsafe in my house because she holds all my needs. If the person that holds all my needs is having a hard time, then, oh, that means I'm not safe. I might not have all my needs met. So for a healthy survival in childhood, we're very egocentric and we're going to take everything and internalize it. So this inner critic really stems from our environment of where we grew up, what was told to us, being in that stage of egocentric, right? Being in that stage where we take in everything. So now, you know, as an adult, we need to realize like this voice is not mine, right? I need to separate myself from this voice. This is not my voice. I've internalized it to survive. And right now I'm an adult. I'm an adult. So what can we do, right? We can talk back to it, right? We can talk back to that inner critic of ours and say what we want to say. Maybe as children, we weren't capable of speaking up, right? I know I lacked that aspect, right? I never spoke up. I have a very hard time till today. It's a constant work, right? To speak up, to say what I want to say, to set boundaries. And so now we need to realize I'm not that child anymore. I can meet my own needs. I don't need to depend on anybody. I can speak up for myself. I can say, you know, don't talk to me this way. So today we get to do that to that inner critic. So oftentimes this inner voice might even sound like our caregiver's voice, right? It might even literally sound like one of our parents talking to us. And if we really observe the inner critic and the words and the fears, we'll really even kind of realize like, oh, wow, this is really what was said to me. And this is not me. So we want to talk back to it. And, you know, even say things like, you know, shut up, don't say that, right? Don't tell me that. That's not true, right? And maybe a lot of frustration might come out, right? Like, I kind of think of it as like this, you know, kind of like a parasite living on our skin. So it's kind of part of us, but it's not part of us, right? It's something we have to deal with that's part of us, but, you know, we want to say it, we want to tell it, you know, go away. I don't want to hear you. That's not true. And when, after we do that, we also want to talk to ourselves about, you know, kind of like replacing it with self-love, right? What are the things that we love about ourselves, right? And kind of remind ourselves. And I feel like one thing we could do is, you know, we could, because on these moments, sometimes it's really hard to think of things that we love about ourselves. And something that I like to do is I like to take my phone and I basically record myself like a voice recording and I talk to myself. So I'll say a voice recording of all the things I love about myself. And whenever I hear that inner critic, I talk back to it and I say what I want to say because now I'm an adult and I get to. And then I listen to that if I can't find the words on my own and it's in my own voice. And there's a power in that of listening our own voice talk back to us and telling us, you know, remember, you know, you are so lovable because of this and because of that, and saying all the wonderful things that we do love about ourselves, that we take the time to think of and write down. Right. Yeah. So, did that answer your question?
That did. Actually, this is how limiting beliefs are formed about ourselves, where we think we're not good enough, where we're not lovable enough, and all of these things, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, they come from the way we were spoken to growing up, and we get to change that. We get to create our own, you know, our own voice today as an adult.
So what I'm hearing, Sterna, is that it's very important for parents to work on their inner child to raise a healthy, emotionally developed kid. But can you tell me the main, like, why is this so important? Not only for us, but for our kids.
Yeah, so I think, you know, having a child in front of us reminds our body of ourselves at that age. Seeing right. that child, you know, so it reminds our body. So we can have sensations and emotions and feelings that come up that we may not even understand. And if we're not conscious and really, you know, thinking this through and really looking inwards, it's very easy to then look exteriorly, you know, around us, and parenting then becomes more about, you know, the child in front of us, the child inside of us that, inside, you know, yeah. is getting overwhelmed versus the child in front of us, you see? So okay. it's important yeah. to actually look inward so that we can separate the two in our parenting, right? And understand that, you know, this is all of my inner, you know, things to look at and understand and maybe learn and unlearn, and then separate the child that's in front of me from that.
Right. Right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you something else. Okay, so when my daughter's 2 years old and there's a cat in our apartment building, and she loves going and feeding the cat, you know, and she's not scared of the cat. Whereas my own, I am petrified of animals, and especially cats. I don't know why. I used to be of dogs as well, but that has pretty much changed now. How do I, and you know, I have this thing like reaction where I'm like, oh, please don't do that. Don't do that. You know, like that's a very natural reaction that tends to come out, which I tend to like tell myself that it's fine. You know, let her, even if she gets hurt, it's okay. It's not going to be that bad. Let her explore. So how do I silence my own fears so that I raise a brave and independent child?
Yeah. So I think there's a fine line when we say silence. We don't want to silence it so much to the point where we're not even feeling it or acknowledging it or validating it.
Right.
So we right. want to say, you know, to ourselves, yeah, I am scared of cats. You know, this is how I feel, and validate that, right? For whatever reason, whatever experience you've had, maybe that you don't even remember, right?
Right.
So you are feeling this way, and it's okay to share that with our child and then separate us from them, right? You know, telling yeah. your daughter, you know, right now, I actually feel afraid of this cat and you don't. So I'm going to stand right. over here, and you can walk forward if you want and go see the cat.
Right.
So right. we are two separate beings. I feel this way. You feel that way. There's no right and wrong. And just validating this experience of what's going on without making her kind of feel like you have to kind of come to my side. You know, I'm afraid, so you also have to be afraid right now. So we're kind of right. saying, I feel this way and you feel this way, and it is what it is. So I'm going to stand here and you can go closer to that cat.
Right. You think, Sterna, that is parenting a circle, that we do tend to raise our kids in the way we were raised without realizing, and if we do not work on it?
Yes, I really am a strong believer that we really need to be consciously making efforts not to repeat what was done to us, to the extent of like small things. Like, for example, you know, I was really, really so determined not to raise my children with conditional love. I really wanted to be careful to love them unconditionally. And, right. you know, I would think things through, and without even realizing, like, I was doing things that were so based on conditions. And it had a way of like creeping into my life, you know? It has a way of coming up in different forms. Right. So I think it's really important to really be conscious, you know, of what we're doing and getting educated and empowering ourselves to know where we hold, right? Maybe there's going to be a lot of unlearning to do and a lot of learning to do and to understand what our actions today, how they're going to affect our children in the long run in adulthood, you know? So yeah, I strongly believe that the cycle easily continues unless we're brave enough to say, hey, you know, it's going to end with me, right? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be conscious about this.
How do you get a hold when you are tending, like you said, you know, you were tending to go towards conditional love.
Yes.
How
yes.
did you get a hold of yourself and change your understanding of how it should be?
Yeah, you know, you kind of have to just observe, you know, sometimes as much as we learn and as much as we try to get educated, when it comes to hands-on, it could be a different, you know, experience. And for example, right. the experience I was having is I never punished my children. And at one point I was having a hard time with, you know, cleaning up after my children would take out toys. And I remember I would tell my kids, hey, you know, let's clean up and then we're going to have ice cream. And I remember doing that as like a way of motivating them, right? Like we're going to clean up and then this is what you're going to get in return. And that right. is conditioning them, right? I'm going to give you something only if you do this. Versus right. being a versus being a mother that just gives because you are worthy of getting it, regardless of your actions, just for who you are. Yeah. So yeah. what happened was, is that my children would basically, I would see them like right away, like cleaning up. And I remember something felt off, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing here? Right? Like, do I want my children to just like clean for ice cream? Something felt off. I think we need to, like, whenever we feel a little bit of discomfort, we need to search deeper into that. When something feels off, take the moment right. to pause, you know? So I took a moment, I took a couple days actually for me to realize what I was doing. And, you know, I started to think this, like, okay, like, I don't feel good about this, seeing my kids, you know, cleaning up so fast and then like saying, okay, can we have ice cream now? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And it didn't feel good. And then I realized, like, you know, I'm putting pressure on them and I'm conditioning them that they're only going to have ice cream if we clean up. And what is the link between the two, right? What does ice cream have to do with cleaning up? And why do they have to clean up to get ice cream, you know? So all of those questions I had to answer and I had to, you know, really face and then own up those behaviors to my children, right? I spoke to them. I said, hey, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like how I went about that. You know, you guys want ice cream? You can freely have ice cream. You know, it doesn't, you don't have to clean to have ice cream. We're going to clean up because it feels good to clean up. And I'm here to help right. you. We're all going to get this through this together, you know? So when things don't feel good inside of ourselves, I think it's a little message in our body that tells us, you know, something feels a little off. Let me dig deeper into this.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to add something here. So many times now when you've said this story, I have realized that we do things like this without even giving it a second thought. We're so used to being a part of this world where there's give and take, where you give something to get something. And when you said this, it just like kind of went in my head like, hey, I have done this too, you know? And I didn't even realize I was doing it until you just said it out aloud. So thank you for that.
I'm telling you, I cried when I realized, I literally just cried and I said, wow, my conditioning has a way of creeping into my life. And I literally cried and I was like, I can't believe I was doing this. I promised myself I was not going to condition my children. And here I am conditioning them. You know, it's been a couple of months that I was doing that at the time. And you know, it's hard. It's really hard to face our actions and to see right. it, you know?
And it's so easy to take the easy way out, right? Like you're getting the job done and like you are tired at the end of the day. You want them to do the job for you. So this is just an easy way out, but you don't realize how it's playing out in their heads.
Exactly. And you know, it's not about the cleaning and it's not about the ice cream. It's about what we're teaching them. We're really teaching them. Right. when you do this, what I ask of you, then you're going to get, you know, some sort of good treat. And that's not the message I want to send my children. You know, it was a really big kind of slap in my face. Like, what am I doing? And when I changed, you know, the way I went about it and I spoke to my children, honestly, you know, I honestly spoke to them. Right. I opened up to them about it. And it was just a better feeling inside of me. Cleaning up and removing that condition in our lives felt better. It was a sense of relief inside of my body, you know, that discomfort that left. So I think really being in tune with, you know, don't ignore how we feel. When something doesn't feel good, listen to it. You know, find a moment in your day to just pause and say, you know, what is this discomfort telling me right now?
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sana, I just want to ask you one more thing. Can you share some tips for one to heal their inner child? Like, what has worked for you?
Yeah. So there are many, many different ways, but I'll speak personally on my healing journey. So the first thing is that as a child, I lacked the ability to speak up. I never said no. I was always feeling the responsibility of other people's happinesses, and I would put aside mine. How I felt didn't matter. How other people feels matters. My discomfort was put aside and stuffed into my body, and I would make sure that everybody else's comfort was, you know, okay. And today, what really helped that part of me is realizing that I get to speak up. I'm no longer that young child. I'm an adult. I can provide my own needs. I'm safe today. I'm here for myself. Every single time I speak up, I set a boundary. I voice myself. I love myself a little bit more. And over time, we do that and we do that and we love ourselves a little bit more and we show up for ourselves a little bit more. So definitely that has been a huge healing process for me, speaking up. And another thing that I'm actually currently more doing it more religiously is inner child meditations. So you can just Google some on podcasts, on YouTube. There are some incredible ones out there, and they bring you back to a place where, you know, in the meditation, you basically go back to, you know, experiencing a moment where you were a little child. And then meditate on being the adult, coming to that little child and giving that little child your hand, you know, and reminding it, I'm here, right? You're safe. I'm the adult today that's going to care for you, right? Yeah. You don't have to silence yourself. So I find that the inner child meditations have really touched a very deep part inside of me. So much so that sometimes I get nervous even listening to one before, because it like brings up a lot of emotions, but I keep doing it. And I find that it really has brought a lot of healing for me personally.
And how often do you do this? The meditations?
So right now I'm trying to do it religiously. I would say I kind of do it about, let's say, 5 out of 7 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not long though. It's not long. It's about 20 minutes a day. I do it before I go to sleep. So it's just very relaxing. And I do it 20 minutes before I go to sleep, and I do it 5 out of 7 days at least minimum.
Wow. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Sterna. I had, this was an eye opener for me. So thank you so much for coming and sharing your journey. I've been following you for a while, and I just love your approach to parenting. So it's a really big honor for me to have you here.
Thank you so much for your kind words. And it's an honor for me to have had this conversation with you.
Sterna brought up some things which I had never even thought about. My whole approach to parenting has just shifted. Sterna shares a lot more valuable information on her Instagram as well. You can follow her at Sterna Suissa. That's Suissa. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HD Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.